Now, back to Murph and Mac on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
There it is, the sweet, sweet sounds of Bye Bye Baby. I tell you what, the way these guys are hitting homers, it is Bye Bye Baby.
Big
He's got
to
get a couple guys on, Pauly, before you hit these home runs.
Okay,
right?
Fair enough. We'll do that today.
Bye Bye Baby doesn't mean just solo. Let's get a couple, two, three, even grannies in there, three-run jacks. But listen, that's all part of the mosaic, Pauly, as Marty Leary would say.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing the red, white, and blue bunting is out. We'll find out for sure from our traditional home opener guest,
okay.
Giants president Larry Bear. Larry, happy. We say this to you now for I don't know how many years in a row. Happy home opener. How are you?
Morning, Larry.
Hey, Murph, Mac. I got to say, we are not quite at public house together hugging and eating the donuts and drinking the whatevers.
Yeah.
But we are getting really close to that. And it's so great. I'm hearing Bye Bye Baby and actually hearing the Junior Giants here just when I was on hold. I mean, they, you know, it's tough to follow kids. The Junior Giants, and as you well know, Murph, there's been a lot of inspiring things happen in the last 18 months, 12 months. Since the pandemic, in 18 months since we've all been in the ballpark. And hopefully today, everybody at the ballpark will be able to call attention to some of the inspiration we've drawn through difficult times.
It's going to be an amazing day. Let's start with like just kind of brass tacks here. When does the park open for the fans who are lucky enough to go today? I know COVID has changed things, so it's not the same. When are we opening, and what can we expect when we walk in?
So we'll be opening at 11, and you'll and try to come early if you can. We have these extra gate procedures where you have to be prepared to show either a 14 days out from vaccination or a negative COVID test in the last 72 hours. So that's the San Francisco health regulation. So please be prepared for that. And you'll be able to bring food in, but in a bag that's a certain size, you know, sort of a reasonable, I think, 11 by 16 size bag, and non-alcoholic drinks, but with a seal. But, you know, essentially what the difference, once you get in, is you're going to find that in pods, you're going to be sitting, you'll have elbow room. That's the good news. The bad news is you're not going to be able to, like, high-five a stranger that's sitting next to you, which, again, that's a great part of the magic of the ballpark, but it's also something that I think we can wait for a little bit, and hopefully that little bit will not be necessarily 2022. It might be just down the road here in a month or two. And so you'll be sitting in pods. In terms of ordering food, we're going to ask you to use the app, which is super simple to download. We had a big test run on a few days ago, and it worked well. It's worked well in other ballparks where you download what you want. You'll be able to get your garlic fries, your dogs, your beers, etc.
Can I interrupt
then,
you right there just real quick? Larry,
up.
I got to interrupt you real quick. What is the app?
The app is the MLB ballpark app.
Okay.
That's the ballpark app.
Okay. Okay.
So there's two different MLB apps. There's an MLB at bat that you probably use to check scores, right? And then there's MLB at the ballpark. That's super simple to download.
Okay. And, I have that app. I have that app.
The same app you use to get in. Yeah, it's the same app you use for your tickets, right? Your tickets are on that app.
Yeah, so I'm on the app. And so I'm just asking, so I'm trying to find where the – I'm going to ask you to navigate me through the app here. There will be an option to order food there.
Yeah, sure. So there should be – so on there you'll be fine. You'll find if you just go look at it, there should be a concessions.
Okay. I'll figure it out. Today. I'll figure it. That's neither here nor there. I'll figure it out.
You and I, you know, the technological wizards from Willie Mays and Willie McCovey days, we could figure it out.
I just found it, Larry. Food ordering. There it is. There it is.
Are you ordering? I don't know. I'm not sure if we could bring anything to your house in Marin, but we'll try. What do you want at 8:30 in the morning?
My 9-year-old loves the crab sandwiches, Larry. So,
okay, all right. I think I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think the crab sandwiches made the cut because we cut it down, but we got garlic fries and we got We are going to be bereft of crab sandwiches and cha-cha bowls, but I think we've got everything else essentially that you're going
to want. Well, I'm glad you told me because you know what? It will allow me to prepare him. Okay? So now you got to do your, as a parent, you have to prepare him. All right? So
expectations, right? You got to manage that. Yeah.
That's a first homestand protocol. Okay? Yeah.
Yes.
But we're going to have it. And try to be in your seats at 1 o'clock if you can, because we're going to have, it's going to be, I think, some pretty heartfelt ceremonies and players on the field and the energy of the crowd and get things going and, all the things that, are all hallmarks of opening day are going to be around. And one thing I was thinking about also, guys, is, when you go to the ballpark, for me, I see familiar faces that are, the guest services, the ushers, usherettes, guest services people, vendors. You're going to see people that are familiar. And we've had, I know your season ticket holders, these are people that go to life events of our season ticket holders and of our frequent clients and customers. And to have them, to be able to reacquaint with them is going to be pretty cool.
We do have to ask hard-hitting questions, and I'm not looking for you to disappoint fans. We just want to, again, adjust expectations. Did the Ghirardelli Sunday make the cut?
Ooh.
It made the cut.
Now we're talking.
There we go. Okay. That will rescue a 9-year-old's day.
I feel like I'm on 60 Minutes.
I know. Isn't it true, Larry? Yes, yes.
my hands were sweaty there when you started.
The Ghirardelli Sunday made the cut. Oh, man. Okay. I heard you talking to the afternoon boys yesterday, and for the morning crowd that missed it, tell us again about the port walk and the right field walkway and the archways.
Sure. So with COVID protocols, just it tied to, why we can't have everybody gathering at Public House right now, why we can't have, restaurants fully open. We can't have those portals fully open just because of COVID restrictions and gathering and social distancing and spacing. It would be too hard to, have them open. So that's the sort of blanket health reason that we're not going to open the portals when the COVID restrictions are lifted, and again, don't have a date for that, but down the line, we assume we will go back to opening the portals. We do have some actual guidelines from the city and the state tied to the ballpark entitlements that require us to have sort of free access to behind the ballpark during games, including the portals. That was actually part of our permission to build and open the ballpark. So we assume that the portals will come back at some point, but not soon. So maybe we hit all these home runs and public pressure. I don't know. Maybe we could change the entitlement. I'm not sure, but we assume we'll reopen them down the line when the COVID restrictions allow. But for, I would say for sure, the month of April it'll be closed. So you can play your bombs away. hopefully quite a bit for Giants fans. Giants home run.
Great knowledge there. So that's going to be an interesting deal, because if the Giants do hit some, the stat is they averaged 5.5 runs per home game last year in the short season versus 3.3 runs per home game in 2019. So there was an insane difference. So if you guys get off to a start where you're hitting, banging the ball around the yard again in April, I wonder, I'm doing hypotheticals here, Larry, but there might be some pressure to keep those things closed from the ball club, right?
Right. Well, we've looked at it. I mean, we've kind of taken a look at the numbers. Now, one thing, the difference between 19 and 20, just to be fair about it, is we had a 60-game schedule, 30 at home, and there were no April games last year, right? So you're comparing offensive performance. And I'm not saying the portals didn't play a role. I personally think they did. But, remember, you're talking about games only July, August, September last year and starting at the end of July versus a whole season's worth of games at home. So is the air heavier in April, May, and did that have an impact versus, I don't know. I mean, there could be a few factors that, suggest that those differences. But look, I mean, if there's a possibility that it helps us more than the other club, I don't know. We'll take a look at maybe closing the portals. I don't know if we would be able to do that given our entitlement, but we'll take a look at it.
Oh, man. And by the way, Ron Wotus just tweeted out a picture of the ballpark and said, "Welcome back, fans. Looking forward to your energy behind us today."
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful. You know, I hope you guys and all of our fans do come today or over the weekend or next week against the Reds. I hope you're able to just kind of reflect a little bit on it, because I actually teared up Tuesday night when we did a dry run of some of our systems, and we had Giants employees at the ballpark Tuesday night. You know, just the red, white, and blue bunting and the welcome home signs and the green grass. And, it is the most – I think it's the sport that really offers the most sort of generational connection and connection to your youth, or if you are a youth, your sort of the wow factor of being in a beautiful space that are all different. Ballparks are all different, right? And hopefully we'll all take a moment and be grateful, because we lost it last year as fans. And I think there was a big hole in all of our hearts to not have it in our lives.
No, without question. It will be kind of surreal to go out there on a number of levels, you know, the spacing out of the fans and then the return of baseball and all these things. Larry, 22 seasons in the park now.
Incredible. There'll be one thing. Yeah, we keep calling it the new ballpark. We try to, you know, I'll tell you just a little anecdote. When we came in 1993, and, of course, the big issue was we had to get a new ballpark, or the Giants, when we almost moved to Florida, and we were probably going to be destined to not staying in San Francisco if we couldn't get a new ballpark. And we looked at Candlestick, and Candlestick was the same age as Dodger Stadium. But Candlestick felt like it was about 75 years old, and Dodger Stadium felt like it was about 5 years old. And they were both at that point, having opened around 1960, they were both, you know, about 30 years old. Our goal was to try to keep this ballpark feeling new and feeling fresh, and having new attractions and items and areas, and without a full ballpark, you won't be able to see it all today. But there's some areas around the bullpens that we've changed some seating areas and some attractions, and then there's one thing you'll notice on the field with the players today that is different from when we opened. In 1993. You know what that is?
No bullpens?
No. I mean, that's on the – and what I'm saying, on the field with the players on the field.
What is it?
You'll notice with the players. Well, in case you don't know who number 28 is, we'll spell it out for you.
Oh, that's right. The names on the jerseys.
On the back of the jersey.
Yeah.
And you know what, by the way, Larry? I'm totally okay with that.
Me too.
Totally okay.
Absolutely.
In fact, it happens. It's your generation. Paulie and I grew up going to Candlestick and seeing McCovey and Clark on the back of the jerseys. We were totally cool with it.
Yep.
Right. And it was really an ode. The reason we didn't do it at the very beginning when we opened the ballpark is we wanted the ballpark to feel like an ode to the to the days when the Giants moved, and they sort of the old-fashioned, old-style ballpark, more, you know, akin to, we would say, you know, Wrigley Field meets Camden Yards kind of thing, and with the knothole gang out in right field with people peering in. So we did not do the names on the back of the jerseys, and Peter McGowan and I were, you know, felt that it was a touch, just like the off-white uniforms, which were the same, you know, the same uniforms when we came to San Francisco in 1958. And, but, you know, everything has its day, and that was maybe a 21-year statute of limitation, so to speak. I mean, now, you know, a lot of people said we really want names on the backs of the uniforms.
I'm okay with it. Yeah. And you made the seamstress work overtime to spell Yastrzemski on the back, right?
Yeah. We won't sell as many scorecards, though, right?
Right. Yeah, right. There you go. Well, listen, it's going to be and I did ask, right? Red, white, and blue bunting, right? We're going for it?
Oh, yeah.
Red, white, and blue bunting. And, you know, and really the touches, even though we can't have everybody on the field, there are restrictions, so we can't have everybody on the field that, you know, the way we might on, you know, certain opening days. We're going to have it's going to be a great show that, you know, Mario Alioto and Stacy Slaughter and the group and Ballpark Ops, Alfie Felder and George Costa have everything looking beautiful, and that's I mean, that's going to be part of the magic. So just invite people to take it in. The Colorado Rockies have returned a few tickets. You may have a shot if you go to sfgiants.com of getting a couple of last-minute tickets. I don't know. Because we announced a sellout, and then the Rockies, they don't have really the traveling parties are small this year. So they don't have the traveling party that they had. So we may have a few tickets if you're in last-minute mode, as long as you have your test and your vaccination.
Sounds incredible. And I know you mentioned Stacy and Mario and Alfonso and everybody. And, you know, being at the Giants Community Fund, I see how hard these guys work all the time. And you guys had a lot harder hurdles than other places. Geez, Larry, I think if you were working for the Astros or the Rangers, you wouldn't have to be doing much, would you?
Well, let's just put it this way. We're living in San Francisco in the Bay Area, and maybe there are a few trade-offs per se. I'm not sure these are trade-offs because, San Francisco Health and the officials here have kept our numbers so low.
Yep.
And so, I mean, it's really remarkable. And I know it's interesting because I've been following Bob Wachter, and I think you guys have followed Bob Wachter on UCSF has an amazing Twitter thread. And and then we're going to talk about this some in the pregame. We have exceeded pretty much every large metropolitan area and large city in this country in terms of what we've been able to accomplish in keeping the hospitals and the community as safe as possible. And that has been something that, we're involved. My wife's involved. Pam's involved in San Francisco General Hospital and Zuckerberg San Francisco General. And we're involved with Dignity Health and St. Mary's and St. Francis. And, they've all been the appreciation. It's kind of hopefully we're able to close the chapter on seeing these numbers and measuring. We're not there yet. But today's a day to reflect on really the amazing job that everybody has done.
Well, it's going to be awesome. Can't wait. Ghirardelli Sundays, red, white, and blue bunting, names on the back.
Yeah.
Baseball in San Francisco.
Lots of different kinds of hot dogs, lots of different kinds of,
yes.
beverages. So, So it's going to be, tell your little one that we can get in. Nachos aren't going anywhere.
The Sunday alone will do it. The Sunday alone will do it. It'll be great. Sometimes that's when you're nine, that's all you need. Oh, can't wait, Larry. Copes is going out there. So 11 a.m. it opens. Oh, one last one. Are people allowed to wander the park? Can you, walk the port walk, or do you want people staying in their sections?
We'd like people not to do too much wandering. I mean, again, that's kind of the signature of the park, right, is you move around and and you do it happily. And, it's not like anybody's going to be restrictive, but we are trying to avoid, crowding as people come in, especially. So we're not especially encouraging that. You'll have lots of room to spread out, in your pods of two and four. And but come early just to get through the gate process. We think it'll be reasonable. The Yankees and Mets have both had the same protocols, and things worked out pretty well in New York. We've compared notes with them. So, you wander around some, but we're going to have some restricted areas. We're not going to be able to, open up, for instance, the Coca-Cola fan lot and the little kids field and all of that. But maybe next homestand or certainly early May.
Yeah, and I know we've kept you long and you got to go. But just real quick, things could change as the summer goes on?
Oh, for sure. We really are optimistic about that. As the numbers, because right now we're in orange, right? And the tiers system, the anticipation is the tier system goes through June. But, if we get from orange to yellow, that would be the next step, and we're getting pretty close. Then we feel there'll be a next wave of restrictions lifted. And I can see, for instance, maybe even, in one or two homestands from now, concession service, concession stands open. And in fact, the state and the city are looking at that right now. So opening concession stands. So I think we're just right now, we're kind of just in the teeth of the final protocols. And then you get to May and June and our hope is things will be in a much less restrictive mode. But the grass is going to be green. The sun's going to be shining.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the players will have names on their uniforms. And Johnny Cueto will be shimmying,
That's all we need. And well, a Ghirardelli will be Sundaying.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Last one on the way Sunday. Out. Heard you with.
If you have any real clout, we'll see if we can send one to your house by before you leave.
No, that's okay. They're getting it at the park is part of the fun. Last one is I just wanted to tip my cap. Paulie and I were talking about. I heard you on with the Afternoon Boys, and Kruger asked you your best opening day, and you rightly answered 1993. It was an amazing day in Giants history. And for Paulie, you mentioned that part of the mosaic was seeing Jerry Garcia on the field, right?
Oh, the greatest, yeah.
Oh, the greatest. And you know what's so great is that with the foundation and with Bill Walton and Bob Weir and others, that has lived on for almost 30 years, right? So each year we have in early August, right, in that period, we have a night with them. And, oh, my goodness, we have, I mean, literally there are thousands of people that buy tickets for the Grateful Dead night. It's usually around August 1st, Paulie. I mean, it's like there's a special dates between the, I think it was the passing of Jerry.
Yeah, well, his birthday is August 1st, and then the date of his passing is August 9th. So you guys usually schedule it right within that week at some point, yeah.
Yes, and we consult our friend Bill Walton on that.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Yep, Bill comes every year, and so this year, and I don't have it in front of me, but between August 1st and August 9th, and that was really just, it's amazing, because that was an outgrowth of in 1993 when they sang the national anthem, and it was national news, right? It was, the Giants were staged in San Francisco, and what could be more San Francisco to pay tribute to the Giants staying put. Was the dad in full force?
Yeah,
singing in tie dye shirts.
Great memory.
The caps got produced. Remember with the cross license of the Giants and the Grateful Dead.
So cool. I think old Tony Bennett was there that day too.
He was. He definitely was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was. Oh, and we had, and in fact that day we introduced Sherry Davis was the first.
That's right. That's right.
Female public address announcer, and then Sherry set the stage for Rennell, and then Rennell starting in with the new ballpark in year 2000. So we had a lot of firsts. We had the foghorn. I mean, just all the different things.
Oh, Larry,
that we could try to...
And it was revolutionary that you guys brought the stinking rose garlic sandwich in. That was like revolutionary.
that was great. Yeah, no, it was stinking rose. Francis Ford Coppola. Actually, in 2000, brought us a bunch of his Italian wines and his eatery. And no, it's, I mean, that's the thing is that I think a ball club, maybe more so than any other institution in the community, can really represent and create a signature and reflect what a community is.
Yeah. And let's do it. Another year, another season, the 64th season in San Francisco. So, Larry, we'll see you out there. See you at the Ghirardelli Sunday line, all right? Or,
awesome,
or not the line. I'll just raise my Sunday to your seat because it delivered to the seat.
I'll see you at the Ghirardelli Sunday app.
There you go. There you go. Thanks, Larry. Happy opening day.
Thanks,
cheers, Larry.
Happy opening day. Thanks so much, guys.
You got
there
it,
he
man.
Is, Paulie, with the ending it on the Jerry riff. There.
Well, I mean, perfect, perfect. I mean, what a knockout version too. They did the 3-part harmony with the great vocals, really, by all three guys. And who sets the table better for opening day than Larry Bear?
Know, you know what I mean? Well, he's a San Franciscan now, Richmond District, Paulie. You and no. he. Presidio, I mean, Middle School, was it? Or no, it's Roosevelt.
Roosevelt Junior High. Junior High. Yeah, even though they got Roosevelt at some point this year.
No, earlier. Did you see that, by the way? The school board, the battered and beleaguered school board, laid down their arms. They're not going to do it after all.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Oh, yeah, no. They got clobbered into oblivion. So many lawsuits are coming at them. They just laid down their arms. They're quote-unquote pausing the school renaming.
So Roosevelt lives on. Okay, good. Maybe my Kiss graffiti is still in the boys' room. Hopefully it is.
You are listening to the KBR Morning Show on KBR and KBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader. Got to do a quick dose, and then Damon Hack from Augusta and general manager Scott Harris.
I know. Busy, busy.
Opening day on KBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the Road to a Podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.